My name's Adam. I'm one of the pastors here. What you're going to be able to tell probably right off the bat is we're a little bit different of a church than probably what you're used to. Maybe some of you are like, no, you're worse than what I'm used to. And that's okay, but we're glad you're here because I was thinking about it this morning. I woke up and I was just super hot, and I was trying to figure out why I was waking up so early and so super hot. And I look, and it's because I stole the entire comforter from my wife. And I was like, why did I do this? This is terrible. But then this thought came into my mind that everybody that's going to be here tomorrow, everybody that's going to be here today is here not by accident, but on purpose. And it's amazing how I can forget that. It's amazing how I can forget that God's been working on you before I even knew you. God's been working on you when you came to this town, when you came to this place, when you moved here from somewhere else and said, hey, you need to find a church to plug into. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. This may not be your place. That's beautiful. I would love it that everybody that visited here would just stay here. Well, not some, okay? There are some people that are real pains, okay? Caleb, hit the bricks, bro. But I wish we could keep everybody, but it's foolish because I know that this may not be your place. This may not be your place here in Laramie. This may not be your place in the body. You're geared for somewhere else that's going to do greater things through you for how you were uniquely created. That's beautiful. Go there, do those things. But if it's here, oh man, I'm super pumped. I'm excited that you're here. How about you? Yeah? We just started a new series this last week, and it's called Jonah. And Jonah, it's kind of like, most people know the Jonah story. I'm not going to pretend that you do, though, because there's some people that don't have any, they were not raised with any kind of Bible background at all, right? You didn't hear the stories that I heard as a beautiful blonde hair, blue-eyed. Tell me more about my eyes, Connie. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't hear the stories that we heard over and over about Noah and the ark and Jonah and the fish and prostitute. That's not a part of the Jonah story, but it's part of the Old Testament stuff, right? There's lots of prostitution going on there, right? As I woke some of you up, prostitutes. What's he talking about? Right. So Jonah is this dude, and he is a prophet of God. And what prophet means is he basically is the mouthpiece for God to people. He hears a message from God, and he goes and delivers this message to the people. And Jonah, last week we heard and saw that he got a direct call to go to the people of Nineveh. And the Nineveh people, it's this massive city that I liken to, let's say, Denver. God calls you to go to Denver and give this message. Look, you guys aren't living like Jesus called you to live. You need to repent. You need to find me again. You need to know me again. And Jonah looks at this task, and probably much like all of us in the room, we would say, Denver's a really large place. They have some scary people there. I don't know as I want to do that. And so Jonah has this conversation with God. I need you to go do this. And immediately, it never really said that Jonah agreed. Right? We don't have this huge detailed story of Jonah and God's conversation, but it never really said that Jonah agreed. What it did say is right after that conversation, Jonah went the complete opposite direction. Here's Nineveh. Here's where Jonah went. And it was like 2,500 miles away from where he was supposed to be. That's the direction he headed. And all he had to do was go 500 miles, and he would have been in Nineveh and doing what God told him to do. But instead of doing that, he bolted. Now, some of us, that's our story this morning that we've come in with. We are hearing God's voice. We're hearing God's call, and we say, no. That's for someone else, right? Some of us have been hearing that because we went to church long ago, right? And we knew Jesus, and Jesus was a real thing, and we know that, and we know that it's inescapable, that the experience we had with Jesus when we were young, you can't beat it. You can't understand it. You can't quantify it. You can't figure it out, but you knew that it was what? Real. And then all of a sudden, like Jonah, you just decided, I'm not going to do that, though. And then you find yourself here today trying to regain that, trying to figure that out, trying to say, okay, God, where are you? Some of us, we've heard the call and we actually go and we run, and that's why we're here. Some of us hear the call and we run and we just say, okay, almost blind faith-wise, and then it really hurts us because we didn't realize what God was calling us to was going to be so painful at times. Whatever your story is today, there has been a call on you from God. And you've either embraced it or you've ran from it. Or you're going to embrace it or you're going to run from it. Okay? And we pick up the story. Last week we left Jonah. This huge, massive storm hits as Jonah tried to sail away from Nineveh. And God catches them in this storm because God created the heavens and the earth. He created all of these things, and he can command them, which is kind of cool, right? When I was a kid, a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed stallion of a child. I'm going to milk this for all it's worth, all right? Now I'm whatever. When I was a kid, we had this song, and it was actually about Jesus. When Jesus was on the boat, and it's kind of similar to the Jonah story where Jesus is sleeping and his disciples are in this boat and this massive storm comes up and Jesus is just sawing logs, right? And the disciples are like, how can you be sleeping at a time like this? We are about to die. And they go and they wake Jesus up in the hull of the ship. And Jesus is like, what's the panic? I created all this. And Jesus speaks to it. He speaks to the conditions around him and he says, be calm, be still. And the conditions, listen, because he made this. He created this. This is his artwork. It does what he says, right? So, similar to Jonah, these sailors are freaking out, as we heard last week, and they know that something's amiss, and they draw straws, and they're like, it's Jonah. He's the bad guy here on the ship. What did you do? And he says, well, I disobeyed God. My God, the God that created all of these things, and this is why the ship and this weather, all of this is my fault. So I want you to throw me overboard, and everything's going to be good for you. And as I talked about last week, Jonah probably anticipated death with his decision. Jonah, instead of facing God, would rather die. Instead of embracing what God has him doing, or what God is asking of him to do, God just, I'm going to take my own life. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to run the other way. And you know what? Just throw me over the ship. You guys will be fine. I've been watching this documentary called I Am a Killer on Facebook. Has anybody watched it? Some hands. Good. And it's these people on death row. And these people have murdered someone in their life. Or multiple people. And there's some of them that got the death penalty and they're like, that's not fair. That's unjust. I'm a human being, right? And we're not here to debate the death penalty, okay? That's not the platform I'm standing on right now. What I am saying is there are these guys that are saying that's not fair, and there are these guys that actually forced the death penalty on themselves because they said, yeah, it's just. It's just. I did what I did. The family needs justice. I can't bring them back. My death won't bring them back, but it will bring them some comfort. So I want to die instead of facing life imprisonment. I think Jonah was weighing that same thing as these guys. You know what? I really screwed up bad, and I do deserve this. So I'd just rather die instead of recanting and calling out to God. Well, what we do is we pick up this story today in the last verse of the first chapter. And then we're going to read through chapter 2. You guys ready? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Jonah 2. Jonah 2 is going to be kind of in the back-ish portion of the Old Testament. Okay? Don't be ashamed if you need to look at the page that has the numbers for the book. Okay? Don't be that person. I was that kid. Like, I should know this. No, I still look the numbers up because I'm like, what in the world? Where are these? But if you don't want to do that, you can actually get a phone app that has Bibles on it. And I'll say it again, if you're not reading Scripture, you're starving yourself to death. Because we don't know who God is outside of that. We can see hints and we can see traces and we can see. But this is going to help define who he is and how he designed us and how he designed us to live. So turn to Jonah. If you don't have a Bible, I want to tell you there are Bibles out there on the table for free. I am understanding we need to order new Bibles this week because people take them and people hopefully are not using them for rolling papers. I'm hoping they're reading them. But it's good because we order cases at a time to give away. Okay? It says this in the last part of Jonah 1, verse 17. I love this, the way it phrases it. I'm reading out of the message today. It says, then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Now remember, Jonah asked these guys in the ship to throw him overboard, and everything will be fine. And it says that the gentleman threw him overboard, and everything calmed down. I think it calmed down on the surface, but I think, anybody ever been on a cruise? I talked about this a little bit last week. Once I was eating on the deck of this cruise, and you watched the ship go like this. And we get down to the bottom of this massive wave, and all you see is a wall of wave. That's some pretty gnarly water, right? So I think what had happened is on the surface, things are calm, and the ship is restoring and settling back to normal. But I think under the surface, all of this stuff has taken place. Jonah is drowning. Jonah can't get air. Jonah is so far underwater that there is no way. And then all of a sudden, Jonah has this idea, you know what? Death kind of sucks. Maybe I was wrong about death. Maybe death isn't my thing. Maybe death isn't my jam, right? So God then assigns a huge fish to swallow Jonah. He assigned it. He's like, hey, you need to go swallow that dude. I think that's awesome, right? Anybody seen The Meg? Is it awesome? I've not seen it yet, but I envision that kind of a fish, right? Or is that a shark? I bet Jaws could take it. Anyway, it goes on to say that Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and nights. Understand this. God assigned a fish before Jonah ever had a change of heart. We read this prayer that happens in chapter 2, but God assigned a fish to swallow Jonah before he ever said one word. Jonah wanted death. God said, that ain't happening. I'm guessing Jonah would have rather have been thrown a floaty or like some armbands, the water wings. I'd still swim with those if they made them for big people. In case you're looking for a Christmas gift, big people, water wings, please. Or birthday, that's in November. November 15th, please. Okay. God assigned this fish before Jonah ever opened his mouth and spoke one word. I have a hard time wrestling with this story because Jonah, after being in this belly of the fish, only then starts praying about his situation. When death didn't work out, he's got to reassess what's going on. I have three friends, Larry and Brett and Brad. And all three of these friends had tried to commit suicide. Two of them by shooting themselves in the chest, hoping to hit their heart or lung or something, to just take them out with a gun. And the other one decided he was going to lock himself in his garage and asphyxiate himself with the car running. Life wasn't worth living for them. And these three friends, it's interesting because the two actually shot themselves through the chest. And they lived. The third one, he wasn't expecting his wife to come home early from work, and she opened the garage to just find him passed out, but where they were able to get to him in time. I'm always amazed at their story because a lot of them can't remember that night. A lot of them can't remember when they tried to end it and say death was good enough. But in all three of these situations, they were unsuccessful at taking their own lives, and they tried. They tried. And then after that, they became these men of God. They had Jesus in the picture prior. They had Jesus running in the background like Jonah did, but they were doing the running game. Death was the only option. They didn't want to submit. They didn't want to tap out of two of them. It was drugs and alcohol that was what their issue was. That was destroying their family, destroying their life, destroying relationships. Now, actually, all three of them, I lied, all three of them, it was drugs and alcohol related. And death seemed like the best option. And after this attempt, after this moment of clarity, and God not allowing, God choosing a different way for them, they couldn't take themselves out. The best of their ability, they tried. They couldn't do it. They had a moment of clarity, and they saw God for who he was, and then they started just chasing after God from that moment. And it was weird, because I always want to ask the question, and I never have, why is life worth living now? And these were committed guys, and some of them actually now have fallen away and fallen back into this old trap. But all of a sudden, Jonah starts praying, and his prayer bothers me. I talked to Craig about it in his office this week because Jonah misses the point entirely as he's sitting in this fish. And it's crazy to think that Jonah could survive 3 days in a fish with digestive systems and juices flowing and not being digested within the belly, right? Science people? Anyone? Am I the only one with that issue? Okay. It's crazy to think that, and it's crazy to think that Jonah could even sit there and just be rotting in stench and other fish and ocean water and seaweed and everything else and be able to have any kind of calm train of thought. It's crazy to think that until we start thinking of who Jesus is and the person of Jesus, right? The foundation of our faith, the foundation of Christianity is that Jesus was born of a virgin. I don't know if you know this, but my wife and I had 2 kids, and it wasn't because we stopped having sex. Okay? Miraculous happens. Jesus comes to earth, teaches people, God here on earth, teaches people to live, how to live and be, and we kill him for it. Not only that, he doesn't stay dead. He comes back like he said he would, conquering sin, the very thing that separates us from God. So if we can wrap our minds around that, like, can we wrap our minds around someone surviving in a fish for 3 days? Well, come on now. Come on now. So he goes on to say this. This is Jonah's prayer. Let's read it in Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to his God, not the God of the guys on the ship, because that wasn't working. In fact, the guys on the ship saw the power of Jonah's God and started worshiping him and offering prayers and sacrifices to him and saying they're going to serve nobody else. Says this, then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. He prayed in deep trouble, I prayed to God. He answered me, from the belly of the grave, I cried, help. Guessing it was that quiet too. Help. Help. Help! It's dark and stinky in here. It's disgusting in here. You heard my cry. You threw me into ocean depths, into a watery grave. Now watch, do you see how he's talking to God? He's not accepting the blame for anything. How many of us do that? I'm going to pretend everybody rose their hand. Okay? He can't even acknowledge. He's like sometimes my children. Wasn't me. Right? I was sitting here calmly, and Zero went berserk. Wasn't me. Right? He doesn't even own it. You threw me into ocean depths, into a watery grave. He's blaming God. With ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me. I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out, poor Jonah, out of your sight. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. Ocean gripped me by the throat.
The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed.
You know how people, when they cry, their voice kind of gets higher?
My head was tangled in seaweed. At the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was far down as anybody could go. And the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive. Oh God, my God. When my life was slipping away, I remembered God. I think it's funny how he refers to him like he doesn't even know who he is. I remembered there's this God, big G. I remembered God. Oh yeah. I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you, made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, walk away from their only true love. But me, I'm worshiping you, God. Liar. Calling out in thanksgiving. That's true. And I'll do what I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the seashore. It's interesting that Jonah's response to his terrible situation did not alleviate him of his situation. Does that make sense? Jonah didn't pray some magical prayer. Jonah just whined and cried like a baby. And we act like maybe Jonah had a change of heart in there. And as I read this, I'm vexed and I'm troubled. I talked to Craig. I said, none of this reflects a change of heart to me. None of this reflects that Jonah actually understood what was going on and that people all around him, the people that he needed to be sent to live as God asked him to live and deliver the message that he needed to deliver, he didn't care about them. He didn't see them as people. They can go to hell. They can just do their own thing and not know God, and I'll be safe. I'll be fine. And then you find him just griping in his prayer to God. There's nothing holy about that. There's a prayer. Praying at the porcelain throne is a phrase that maybe some of you have used. But it's a phrase that alcoholics use that Craig is full of awesome phrases. A lot of them are birthed out of the eastern side of the country, which I don't understand that country at all. A lot of them are equine references, dog references. Does anybody know what a water bubbler is besides mom? No, you liars. What is it? No! How do you know this? I don't know this. Anyway, praying at the porcelain throne is a phrase that alcoholics use, and they find themselves there all the time, every day in, day out, and it's this prayer that goes something like, God, get me out of this. God, help me. God, change my situation now, and if you do, I'm going to give you a cookie. I'm going to give you indentured servitude for the rest of my life. Right? Not only do alcoholics use it, but also I had a friend who was a prospect for the Hell's Angels, and his job, he would run drugs. Because he had a clean record. He would run drugs, and his other job was he would take people that owed the Hell's Angels money and take them out into a cabin in the woods and beat them to near death. His job wasn't to kill them. His job was to beat them and hopefully, okay, I'll pay up. I'll figure it out somehow. He told me, I found myself in that cabin time in, time again, time again, time again, and every time I prayed the porcelain throne prayer, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you forever. And then he's back in the cabin doing the exact same thing. How many of us prayed that? So many of us think that our situation is something that God needs to alleviate altogether. Our pain, our health issues, our heart issues. And then we blame God because he doesn't do those things, right?
You threw me into this situation. You threw me into this watery grave. You put me here. I had to filter. It's your fault. Why can't you just wave your magic God wand and make it whole? Make it better. I read in Scripture that you heal the blind. Make them see again. I've heard in Scripture that you take paraplegic people and you make them walk again. Why don't you fix it? You did this. You allowed this. We've prayed that, haven't we? We've been there more than once. We're there today. But notice how God, from the very beginning, before Jonah opens his mouth and starts whining and acknowledging who, kind of who God is, had already provided a way. And what God's doing is walking beside him this whole time. God's listening. God's hearing. God's watching. There's a Craig by a Craig. There's a quote by Craig Groeschel. He's a Life.tv, Life TV Church, and in fact, I think the YouVersion Bible app is birthed out of that church. Massive church, lots of campus, video campuses. And he goes on to say this: my faith isn't just based on what I want. My faith is based on the character, the nature, and the goodness of God. My faith isn't just based on what I want. My faith is based on the character, the nature, and the goodness of God. See, what we end up doing is trying to define things differently than God has asked us to define them. Or we try to define God differently than how God actually is and how God actually chooses to move. We try to define our current situation by those same standards, right? This is painful. Get me out of this. You allowed it to happen to me, you get me out. And all the while, some of this is Jonah. I'm doing it for him. Oh, poor Jonah. All the while, all of this is Jonah's fault because he turned tail and didn't do what God asked him to do. Now, I can tell you that not every circumstance God is going to send some horrid, horrendous thing your way to get you to shape up. But I can tell you that he's provided a fish for each and every one of you. He's provided a fish. He's provided a way out. And you may not be crying out for him. You may not be calling it what it is. You may not be seeing it rightly, but he has provided it for you. He's done it already. His name's Jesus. Jesus came in and swallowed us up. The whole of humanity, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every race, everything, with his act of teaching us how to be, who to be, where to take our cues from, unswervingly, even if it means death. And we look at that and we say, I don't want to buy that. Or we say, yeah, I love me some Jesus. And then we go on to define him how we want to. Instead of, how did he say that? My faith is based on the character, the nature, and the goodness of God. My faith is based on who he says he is. How he says he is. Who he says I am. How he says I am. Where I am to be. How I am to be, with whom I'm to be with. You ever thought of that? When's the last time you've thought of someone and you thought that person needs Jesus? We probably think about that a lot, right? You probably saw me at Walmart, for some of you that didn't know me before today. That person needs Jesus. Right? Because I was cursing about my sourdough bread being out. I love me some sourdough bread, right? A little butter on there, real butter, not that fake country crock nonsense, okay? We say phrases like, that person could really use Jesus, and we walk away. We go shut the door to our homes and act like nobody else lives around us. We go to our office and our cubicle and we sit and we don't say one word or act as if God even intervenes in our world or is in our world. Because if people knew that, they would have to hold us to a higher standard. We don't want that, right? Just punch a clock and go home. And God's saying, look at these people that I've called you to. Look at these people all around that I've called you to just say, look, God is who he says he is, and this is how he's done it in my world. And the power of your story, your unique story, I don't know how many times I can say this, how God has uniquely crafted you to be who you are, plays. That will preach. Some of you come here day in, day out for my dirt every week, right? That guy's jacked up. But that's the power of story. That's what people want to hear. I was garbage. No, I'm less garbage. Let's be honest, right? But we look at these people and we choose to turn the other way like Jonah. I'm not doing that. God finds somebody else and God's saying, look, I found you. And I've been in the beginning providing for you, just like I did for Jonah. Your words aren't magic. Your words of remorse aren't magic. God says, I know. I get it. And he spits you out of this fish, this Jesus that every one of us should be owning. Every one of us should be claiming. Every one of us should be acknowledging as God. Every one of us should be acknowledging as who we follow. And Jesus spits us out, but he doesn't leave us empty, right? He stays inside of us. It's kind of like I don't know how that works. You're spit out, but all of a sudden, you ingest. This is how dumb my mind is, right? Okay, this is how spastic. But all of a sudden, Jesus spits us out into the world, and we're laying on shore. Just like Jonah. And we have choices to make, just like Jonah. So what are you going to do with that choice? Those of you that have said yes to Jesus and are laying on this shore, and if you ran from him for so long, this might be that moment for you. This might be that shore moment for you, a little sobering, a little wake-up call, a little, oh man, I've prayed those prayers just like Jonah. I've sounded just like Jonah time and time again. In fact, I'm a little worried about going home tonight by myself because I'll find myself doing the same thing again, right? You have a choice to make. Now Jonah's on shore. He's got solid ground underneath him. What are you going to do with this God that you've just encountered? Who's been there since the beginning? What are you going to do with this message as he's called you specifically to people? This call is not unique. Okay? That's not unique to Jonah. Jesus, before he left, said, you need to go. Teach, preach, baptize in my name so that people know me, know how to do this thing called life. What are we going to do with that? Only you can answer that. So we're going to spend some time in prayer. Answering that question together, collectively, because your work depends on it, your families depend on it, your neighborhood depends on it. People sitting around you here in this, let's call it community. Can we call it what it is? Because that's what it is. That's what we keep trying to pull you into is community. We depend on it. We need your story just like everybody else needs your story. You guys have taught me so much with what you guys bring to the table. And how God moves in you. I've never thought about it that way. I haven't seen God work in my life in that way yet. And it's usually in those moments when I'm completely off the rails and looking for God. Oh, God, you're not around. You forced me into this. What choice will you make now that you have solid ground underneath you? God, help this sink deep into our souls. Help this sink deep into our hearts. into our minds. God, everything that we are, help us sink deep into. Let us evaluate who we are and how we are with you. When you speak and when you call and when you ask us to move. God, I know we've got a lot of Jonas here. I share in that. God, help them to see that you've been there from the beginning. Help them to see that you desire nothing but the best for them and that you desire nothing but to do the best work through them, through other people, so other people might know you. God, as we confess sin, may we own these statements that we talk about right now in our heads, that may we own these things and not just cast them onto you. God, you've done these things. May we use I statements, me statements. Own it for what it is, and then move from those things. Move on from those things. God, may we not be timid when it comes time for community and time to live life with other people and confess these things as we so want to just run from that lifestyle. God, the answer is not to run away from community, but to run into it. We need one another. The world needs one another. We all need you. So God, speak loud this week. You've already been speaking to us since we got in these doors, and we thank you for that. God, may our faith be based on the character, the nature, and the goodness of you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.